Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, instead of welcoming you back, I'm going to welcome myself back. I was on vacation last week, and I know many of you were listening to some broadcasts that we rebroadcast, some older shows, and got a lot of great emails about them, so I guess they were good shows to select. But we're live today. We're back with the hot subjects all this week. We've got great shows, and so looking forward to getting back to work here and starting off the week with a very, very important show. About 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, a form of cholesterol was identified as being an important form of cholesterol as a warning sign to the possibility of cardiovascular events. If many of you remember, we did shows about apoprotein A, little a, and there was B and all these other forms, and there were diets created, books written, seminars, people were getting counseling on apoprotein A, and lo and behold, we have a new form of cholesterol to talk about, and it actually may be a better one to monitor for warning signs of atherosclerosis or even cardiovascular events. My guest today is Dr. George Abella, and he is with the Division of Cardiology at Michigan State University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Abella.
Thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, I'm always cautious not to mislead my audience, and I keep saying this new form of cholesterol, but this new form of cholesterol is actually an old form of cholesterol that was basically ignored, correct?
That is correct.
So what is it called again? So for my audience, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about a crystalline form of cholesterol, which means that it is in a solid state. You know, many elements on this planet are in different forms. They can be in a gas form, liquid form, or solid form. And cholesterol in the circulation has been looked at mostly in its liquefied form or free form. But this is the solid state that we're talking about.
Okay, and this solid state is actually called crystallized cholesterol, correct?
Exactly.
But now, is this cholesterol, this crystallized cholesterol, is this something that some people have more of, some people have less of, or is it constantly in flux? How does this work?
It's in a state of balance, as you might imagine. If you put ice in water, there's a balance between the amount of ice and water under the conditions that you have. If the water is very cold, the ice may take a little longer to dissolve versus if it was very warm, it would dissolve much faster. So that interaction is probably the similar type of interaction going on, depending on the local conditions. And each person is very different in terms of their local conditions.
Okay, so it sounds to me like crystallized cholesterol can take the form of crystallized cholesterol at one point in time and then maybe change to some other form of cholesterol.
That is true, and it can go back and forth between these various states or phase states.
Now, when we talk about crystallized cholesterol, is all cholesterol in one way or another a crystallized form, or is I mean, because when we think about crystals, I think of things with sharp edges, and then when I think about cholesterol, I think of blobs of fat, which don't make you think of sharp edges, you know?
Yeah, you're right, the globs of fat do eventually coalesce to form, especially inside certain cells in the body called macrophages, where they are concentrated to form the shards of crystal that are capable of causing serious damage both to the cell that is growing them and then subsequently to the artery wall itself.
Now, that's interesting. Macrophages are associated with the immune system, aren't they?
Exactly. They are the scavenger cells. They are the cells that go in to clean up a mess.
Now, this is really interesting because when we think about atherosclerosis and we talk about plaque buildup in general, We know now that it's not exclusively because of the presence of cholesterol, but instead the reaction of cholesterol to an event, which is inflammation, correct?
Inflammation is a critical element in the formation of plaque.
And interestingly enough, there's lots of new research coming out that's showing that compromised immune systems tend to allow the body to develop a greater degree of inflammation by overreacting or underreacting to. So we have a form of cholesterol here that actually may have an intrinsic and extrinsic effect, that its presence, but also its ability to maybe hamper the immune system, the macrophages.
There's a dynamic interaction between the cholesterol crystals and the immune system. And that's one of the things that the paper that we were discussing that came out in Nature, where what we demonstrated was that this process occurs very, very early on in the formation of plaque, that the inflammation that is triggered by the crystals occurs early rather than late in the process. And that's an important element, because the earlier you're able to alter the process, the obvious benefit down the road is much greater.
How easy is it for us to determine how much crystallized cholesterol an individual has in circulation? Is this a very simple test, like the other, you know, like the HDL-LDL test?
Right now, there isn't a test that will tell us that specifically. We rely on indirect testing, mostly imaging-type tests. For example, we might be looking at MRI, or magnetic resonance, as a way to detect those lesions that could have those type of high-density crystals. Or we might use PET scanning, which is positron emission tomography. These are imaging methods, fancy, if you will, X-ray techniques that might be or turn out to be useful in the early detection.
Now, the study that we're going to be talking about here, and correct me, it's cholesterol crystals piercing the arterial plaque and intima trigger local and systemic inflammation, correct?
That is one of the two papers that I sent you, correct?
Okay. Now, this one in particular, the thing that piqued my interest in the heading of it is that there is already arterial plaque present that these cholesterol crystals are piercing.
Correct. In the title, we did put that in there to make the point that there is piercing going on. But in fact, in the paper, if you look closely, there's two stages to this process.
Yes, right.
One at a cellular level where the injury occurs by damage of macrophages that form the crystals. The second level of injury is at the arterial wall level, where the deposited cholesterol crystals inside the wall continue to grow and pierce their way through the wall of the artery, which is what results in the damage to the arterial wall causing a heart attack. Now, what's important here really is that although this may seem like an unusual or a new concept, but when you compare it to other well-known diseases in the body, it really is not. I'll give you an example. Gout is a crystalline disease where you get crystals of uric acid forming in a joint.
Right.
And this is no different. The joint fluid is a space where you get crystals that can grow. The damage to the joint is no different, really, than the damage and inflammation that we see to the arterial wall. Kidney stones, although many of them are calcium, but at the core of them, many of them have uric acid or other form of materials. Gallstones are basically, the majority of them are, for the most part, are cholesterol stones. So the concept, broadly speaking, is not new.
I'll give you one that hits home even greater, because it actually is formed by cholesterol crystals, and that's xanthoma, which is pockets of cholesterol that form either at the base of tendons, or they actually can form anywhere.
Absolutely correct, and that's an excellent example because it shows in the same idea that xanthomas can erupt and tear through the skin.
Right.
And it's the same concept. You have crystallization and expansion during the process.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we talk, we come back, we'll talk specifically about the study and what was elucidated in the study. We're talking today with Dr. George Abella about a form of cholesterol that may be the best when it comes to early warning sign for cardiovascular events. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to mention to everybody, anybody who's been putting off getting the book, Change Your Life Now, you can save 15% when you order during the month of June. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more. My guest today is Dr. George Abella, and we're talking about cholesterol crystals. No, it's not something you sprinkle in your coffee. Okay, so let's talk about the study. How was the study designed?
Okay, basically, this study looked at mechanisms of the behavior of cholesterol inside macrophages and inside mice models that did not have the capacity to have the immune responses to confirm that this was the role that the crystals were playing.
Okay.
And this was a study that was published in Nature at April 29th of April of this year.
Okay. And so there were two different stages that they looked at, correct, as far as these cholesterol crystals and their ability to both be implicated in the formation of plaque, but also the triggering of the inflammatory response, correct?
Correct.
So describe this just for a second. The inflammatory response, for those people who may not understand this, the incidence of cholesterol is not what causes plaque buildup, correct?
Well, it's a major contributor. Are you talking about the amount of cholesterol in the serum?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a marker. It's a marker for the development,
but
it is not a guarantee.
Aren't there people, right, thank you. There you go. Because there's people out there who have cholesterol that would be considered high by today's standards, but they don't present plaque buildup. So there's something else going on with those people.
Exactly.
Okay. And so when inflammation occurs, basically cholesterol and calcium, correct?
Calcium does form, but to our understanding, calcium is a late comer to this picture.
Mm-hmm. So the cholesterol first does its job. So cholesterol is kind of like our body's spackle. It sees a crack and it says, I got to fill that crack, and cholesterol gathers on the inside of the artery, for instance, in an effort to patch the inflammation?
Yeah, kind of. I wouldn't say. I mean, it's a tempting thought, but I don't know that we have the supporting data to say that.
Okay, from the study, what elucidated to the onlookers, to the
okay,
scientists, that this was the early warning sign?
Okay, so when you take macrophages, which are the cleanup cells, and you feed them a high cholesterol diet, if you will, then they start to form these crystals inside their body. Now, once they start to form the crystal inside the body of the cell then recognizes an emergency. It's like a warning system that kicks in.
Okay.
Okay, so there's an activation of what's known as the inflammasomes. Excuse me.
Sure.
And those are proteins that are the initiators for the molecules that trigger inflammation, the so-called IL family of molecules.
Interleukin. Okay.
Interleukin.
Right. And so when this occurred in the study, we knew right away that this was the earliest point in which inflammation and plaque were occurring?
Correct, because
okay,
now you have set in motion a very potent signal that says there's something really wrong over here, and there's something that needs to be done about it.
Were these cells in a petri dish? Were these cells in mice?
Well, initially they were in petri dishes, then the whole system was looked at within the mouse model.
So in the mouse model, were the mice eating their regular chow but with an increase in cholesterol intake?
Some of them, yes. Some of them were treated that way. Some of them had genetic deficiencies that made them prone to develop high cholesterol and atherosclerosis, like the ApoE knockout.
Okay.
And then there were equally other knockouts, mice that were used that had the inability to produce the inflammasomes to confirm that it was the inflammasome that was the mediator of this process.
Okay. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So this implicates the immune system, too, to a great degree, to the triggering mechanism of the development of plaque.
Absolutely. And this is similar to what has also been reported for uric acid, for gout. So the system is reacting to the cholesterol crystals as it would react, say, to gouty crystals.
This is really, you know, this has thrown me now, because now that I'm thinking about the linkage to the immune system here, you know, I was all prepared to talk. I always suspect the preponderance of high carbohydrate-rich meals that we eat here in this country and the linkage to insulin resistance and glucose management to a lot of different diseases. And early on, when I was reading the study and doing some of my research, I was thinking, I wonder what role the diet plays, the other components in the diet, the, you know, carbohydrate consumption and so on. But now we're talking about the possibility that the immune system is really the first domino here. Because without that, without the inflammasomes, you don't have the response that occurs with the crystallized cholesterol, correct?
Exactly. In fact, the mice that could not produce the inflammasome did not develop the atherosclerosis.
So, this is really amazing, Dr. Abella. And the reason I say that is because the pharmaceutical industry and the medical orthodoxy have been chasing cholesterol for a very, very long time as the silver bullet for cardiovascular events and atherosclerosis, and all of a sudden now we're talking about that the earliest stages really being linked to the immune system and not necessarily cholesterol.
Well, the cholesterol crystal here is acting as the danger signal for the immune signal, the system. So both are critically important. Uh-huh. One is the stimulus, the other is the response.
Is there any linkage to the increase in production or presence of cholesterol crystals and anything else in the body? Like, do we know that when people have this, they develop a higher level of cholesterol, crystallized cholesterol?
Those would be the questions that would obviously emanate from the study. In other words, now the next task would be to try and find out. This opens up a whole new way of looking at things. I mean, the next level would be to try and see if we can identify what are the environmental factors around the cell that make this, enhance this process. Certain people might have those features that make this a much more reactive process than another person. Just like in one mouse that is not highly reactive versus one that is, based on their genetic structure in terms of reacting and producing the inflammasome.
My good friend Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation once told me about a study, and perhaps you're aware of it. That's why I'm mentioning it. He told me about a study that shows that saturated fat consumption, the negative effects of saturated fat consumption are evident in people who also eat high saturated fat meals, but in the presence of high refined carbohydrate consumption. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you
yes.
heard?
Yes, and those things do make sense. Those interactions are clearly ones that would need to be investigated further. We're really touching the tip of the iceberg here. You know, some of us look at this elephant and say it's a rope. The other person says it's a column. The other person says it's a sharp knife. You know, each person feels a different part of it. We're looking at a very specific element here of this process.
Yeah, so this is a lot of interesting work is probably going to spin off now, like to determine what causes the increase in cholesterol crystal proliferation. What triggers the immune system to start this process where it looks at these cholesterol crystals and goes, oh, I've got to do something about them. There's a lot of interesting work that's going to come from this now.
We've already done a little bit in that domain, and I can give you some examples.
Please.
One of them is if you drop the temperature just by 1 degree centigrade, which is like maybe a couple of degrees or so Fahrenheit, you're going to find that the crystal formation is greater, is enhanced. And even an increase in saturation by a few milligrams can throw this thing off in making the crystals to form.
I ask you about that. So in other words, are you saying that in a person that elevating body temperature from time to time, let's say through exercise or sauna, could actually or possibly have an effect on the production of cholesterol crystals?
I'm saying that temperature, body temperature, or the core temperature of the body could be an important, yes, could be an
modulator
of the crystallization process.
Wow.
I'll give you an example. For those of us who live in the cold weather here in Michigan, when the first snows start, that's when the heart attack rates go right up. I mean, there's no question that...
But I thought that was just a hemodynamic effect, that the change in viscosity of the blood. Are you saying that change in viscosity may be because of crystallized cholesterol?
It's not so much the change in viscosity as it is the possibility of crystallization, but also of vasoconstriction of the vessels.
True.
From the cold weather. But that's only one part of it. But there's no question that temperature drop, even by a small amount, might be an important factor. Give you another example. Now, the body temperature drops is lower in the morning hours than it is later during the day. That's well known. And so most heart attacks occur in the early morning hours.
Mm.
So the question is that the reason? Now, most of us have been thinking that was elevation in blood pressure, the sudden increase in heart rate, and those catecholamine-driven kind of features. But the question now is temperature is also playing a role or contributing to that problem?
Right, can't ignore it. Right, exactly. Wow, that's really intriguing. I mean, I've always been a big proponent of keeping body temperature high. I love sauna. I just recently started looking into Bikram yoga because a friend who's become a friend because of the show, Dr. Robert Gorder, who practices in Cologne, Germany, he's doing a lot of novel things there with cancer and hyperthermia therapy. And I'm sure that every doctor who's been in school has heard the rumor about the guy who had a tumor, went to the hospital with an amazingly high temperature. The temperature subsided and the tumor was gone.
That's been known for many, many
years. Right, right. And so he's been working with hyperthermia therapy for curing cancers. And he and I have had shared a lot of dialogue about this. And I said, you know, I have a strong suspicion that in the presence of higher body temperatures, there is an acceleration in enzymatic cascades, like the P450 cascade. And these cascades ramping up and getting busy have a profound beneficial effect on the body. And that's why I love the sauna for that reason. And I exercise and I like to sweat. And so this is really intriguing stuff. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start talking a little bit more about cholesterol in a broader sense. We're talking today with Dr. George Abella. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com. Today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.
.net. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, Dr. George Abella. First half of the show, we were talking about some recent research that links the presence of crystallized cholesterol and its impact on cardiovascular events. Before we start talking about cholesterol in general, I want to mention something that you had mentioned earlier, Dr. Abella, and it's important because we're talking about this strictly like it's a condition of the heart, but plaque buildup affects the whole body, doesn't it?
That's true, and that's very important because most people focus on the heart due to the sudden cardiac events, like, for example, having a heart attack and dying from it. But, of course, there are equally important other areas involved by the same condition. Many strokes are caused this way. Damage to the kidneys are caused this way. Damage to the limbs with limb loss is often caused this way. So there are many, many other organ damages to the body by the same condition.
PAD, peripheral artery disease, is associated with the narrowing of arteries due to plaque buildup, correct?
Exactly.
So when the heart has this problem, the gravity is greater than if you've got numbness in your leg due to PAD or something like that, but both of them are related in that there is a narrowing, or as you folks like to call it, a stenosis.
Correct.
That's caused by plaque buildup. So this is something that's much more important for the whole body. Okay, so let's talk about cholesterol just for a second. There's lots of research out there that indicates that cholesterol by itself is not the villain. And you and I talked about the study that was produced by the University of Hawaii that looked at individuals 60 years old and plus and found that the individuals with the highest cholesterol lived the longest and seemed to be the most ambulatory and active. Well, what would you say about that?
Well, you know, there are many paradoxes in this area. And in fact, there are compounds like certain sterols that are cousins of cholesterol that might that have the capability probably of causing a similar kind of injury to the arterial wall as cholesterol, although many of them are benign, but some of them may not be. So there's a lot of thought as to maybe other molecules besides cholesterol that can do similar things when accumulated in larger quantities in the body than the body can handle or store. So these things are distributed to areas like the arteries and so forth, and they can cause similar damage as we are describing and as we see with cholesterol. So although cholesterol is the most studied and best understood of all those type of compounds, but there's probably, and we're going to learn about probably many other compounds that have similar capacity of causing this type of injury.
Okay. Now, I mean, this whole issue about arteriosclerosis, plaque buildup, and so on, and now correct me if I'm wrong, it appears to be something that is relatively new. When I say relatively new, I want to say Dr. Paul Dudley White. Do you remember who he is?
Sure, of course.
Okay. For those who don't know, Dr. Paul Dudley White was one of the founders of the American Heart Association. He was, I want to say, Roosevelt or Eisenhower's personal doctor. I don't remember which president he served. But he's also the fellow who is responsible for bringing the electrocardiogram to the United States. And in the mid-1930s, he started to go on a bandwagon and telling anyone who would listen that in all his years in school, in residency, in private practice, up until that point, he had only encountered one heart attack, myocardial infarction, I think is the way he put it, mm-hmm. and that by the mid-1930s, the rate of heart attack in the United States had tripled, and he pointed immediately to, thank you, Procter & Gamble, the introduction of the first hydrogenated oil, which was Crisco, and corn oils and so on, but also the high consumption of sugar. And he even recognized that the increase in sugar consumption was back then dangerously high, and it wasn't anything compared to what we eat today, refined sweeteners.
That's right. In fact, during the two world wars, the number of heart attacks dropped considerably because of the lack of available refined sugar.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, there's good data to support this type of thing.
And see, so I tend to want to practice a health history. I want to look back at our ancestors who, while they may have died from an infectious disease, and we've got that under control now, chronic disease was not really occurring at that point in time. Now, it could be because they didn't live long enough to develop chronic disease, so I'm not saying it's all...
Well, I have a story to tell you about
okay,
this one.
Okay, let's go.
I was presenting once, and Michael DeBakey was, most people know,
sure.
a famous cardiac surgeon. And he presented a picture of a Egyptian mummy from about 3,500 years ago. And they looked at the arteries from this mummy that was still preserved. And they demonstrated atherosclerosis. So it's been around for a long time. Now, if you're a pharaoh, I suppose you can eat a lot of meat and have a lot of rich food.
Well, but the Egyptians, but now here's an interesting thing. And this is something I'm actually working for on a show. But when you look at the Egyptians, they basically did what we're doing today. They slept very, they ignored sleep. They ate lots of sweets. They were the first ones to develop cavities, and they invented the toothbrush as a result of that. So,
okay.
I mean, so when you're actually making an argument for what my attitude is about what we're doing to ourselves today. I really believe, you know, everybody's looking for one thing. Oh, this one thing is what's causing, and it's not. We've got a perfect storm going on where we do everything you potentially could do wrong, or rather, everything you could do right to manifest etiology of these types of diseases. We do them all in this country, every one of them, and we do every one of them like champions.
I agree with you. In fact, people now are also investigating environmental pollutants as important elements in this process. And of those are, high emissions and so forth have been associated with increased incidence of cardiovascular disease. So there's, as you say, it's many factors coming together, a perfect storm type of picture.
And that, and I actually blogged about that when that study came out. It showed that individuals who lived closer to very, very busy thoroughfares and roadways had a higher rate of heart disease and heart attack and other issues. And so I know what you're talking about there. And it really is, to me, I look at like where, I look at the Egyptians because they did a lot of things wrong. I mean, they really did when you think about what the way they ate, the lack of sleep. They had precocious puberty. We know that precocious puberty occurs in girls who don't get adequate sleep, that don't go to sleep early enough. They had that sort of thing back then as well. It's hard because we can't just point at, well, these three things are what you have to do. There is so much going on. And the ones that we don't have control on are the ones that I'm the most suspicious of, like the pollutants, whether they come to us in our foods or whether they come to us as airborne particulate matter or whatever, and we're breathing them. And that goes back to the compromised immune system, to come back full circle to what you said earlier about your study, that the immune system is implicated in the plaque buildup. So,
that's correct, yeah.
You know, you can't ignore what we're subjecting ourselves to here. So in your estimation, I mean, while plaque is a necessary component for, I'm sorry, so while cholesterol is a necessary component for plaque buildup, do you think that it is exclusively cholesterol being implicated here? I mean, because everybody focuses on statin drugs and lowering cholesterol.
Well, it's an important element, certainly cannot be ignored. There's no doubt that cholesterol is an important player in the formation of plaque. And it is an important player in the development of acute cardiovascular events. Lowering cholesterol, on the other hand, has been shown to be protective. So we have data going in both directions. One is that it seems to be an underlying element for the formation of plaque. The other is that it is that once controlled or improved, that the events and the outcomes are better.
Have you truly found that individuals who choose to lower their cholesterol through diet and exercise, who truly, truly change their diet and start to exercise with regularity, and I don't mean, you know, just walking, I mean really exercising, is it your experience that some of them just cannot lower their cholesterol?
Yes, because the majority of cholesterol is produced by the liver, and
right.
that is genetically predetermined. And as we get older, you know, when you're born as an infant, the LDL levels of cholesterol are around like 30. And by the time you're 50, they're running about 150 or so,
right.
140. And most for most people, that's high, at least for our society. If you look at agrarian societies, you'll find it's much, much lower. But irregardless, the fact is that it does increase as we get older, and that the cardiovascular events follow the same trend. As the cholesterol increases, the cardiovascular events also increase.
Now, there are some individuals out there who claim that that is not accurate, that the lowering of cholesterol does not, in fact, impact the rate of heart attack. Now, I don't know what studies they're citing. You know, I've heard this before. I've heard people say, you know, lowering cholesterol, statin drugs don't prevent heart attack. By, you know, lowering cholesterol by itself doesn't necessarily lower the risk of heart attack. Is that a misunderstanding, or are they just peddling negative propaganda and they're totally off base?
Well, I believe that, the data speaks for itself. I mean, lowering cholesterol does provide protection. Now, the statins, per se, seem to provide additional protection over and above.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory now we're finding.
Yeah, over and above the effect of just lowering the cholesterol. The effect of the statins kick in very early, long before the cholesterol levels go down to where you want them to be.
Right.
So there's no question that this process is complex, and that the statins provide more than just a lipid-lowering benefit, but also provide other benefits that we're still debating as to exactly what the exact mechanisms might be.
I am personally, I'm opposed to statin drugs. But I'm fortunate I can knock on wood here and say, because I'm able to maintain very healthy levels of cholesterol and very high levels of HDL. But that, I believe, has a lot to do with the fact that I've been exercising for many years. I'm a devout physical culturist. But also, I take a little niacin every day.
Well, that'll give you a lot of protection. Niacin is an excellent lipid-lowering medication.
Well, actually, it not only lowers the bad cholesterol, but it seems to decrease HDL receptors, so it allows a higher degree of HDL to circulate. And combine that with I take copious amounts of fish oil. I drink it right out of the bottle.
Well, I don't know that that you'd get a lot of people doing that. It's not the most pleasant thing to
do. No, I know.
But there's no question that niacin provides excellent protection.
Right.
Of all the medications we have, it has the best profile. In fact, it's just tolerating it because of the flushing effect.
Yeah, but I'm a little kooky, Doc. I actually enjoy the flushing effect, and I love the taste of fish oil, so go figure, okay? All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll close the show. We're talking today with Dr. George Abella. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment.
Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Prealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, orbitnutrition.com. Get an additional 10% off their already low, low prices. This is for Superhuman Radio listeners only. Use the coupon code SHR10. That's SHR10 at checkout. And get an additional 10% off at orbitnutrition.com. My guest today is Dr. George Abella. We've been talking about cholesterol, cholesterol crystals, atherosclerosis, stenosis, and all those other wonderful things that we really never want to get. And you know what's really, I mean, I think about plaque all the time, Dr. Abella, because it's one of those things that's forming and you don't know it. I mean, I take 800 IUs of vitamin E a day, and I take a very full spectrum vitamin E supplement that has tocotrienols in it as well. Because it's been shown in some early research that taking vitamin E at 400 IUs a day can actually stall the production of plaque. Have you seen any of that research?
You know, the whole thing about vitamin E is fluctuated a lot, as you know. I hope you're not taking aspirin with that, because vitamin E has a direct effect on platelets.
Yes.
And it will thin the blood down, so
right.
to speak. So you want to be careful. You don't. If you're using a lot of vitamin E, I wouldn't use any other kind of blood thinner.
Well, and I do. That's funny you should say that. I take about a gram of ginger extract a day, which has been shown to have a similar effect, blood thinning effect.
Do you bruise easily?
No, not at all. And I bang myself. I mean, I especially like one of the days that I train back and I deadlift, I bang my shins. No, I don't bruise easily at all. But then again, it also should be said that I am on hormone replacement therapy, and my hematocrit is actually in the high side of normal.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps there's a little balancing effect as a result of the testosterone.
Well, that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, there you go, right? I jokingly tell people who know me well that I am a 250-pound Wistar rat. I am an experiment. I'm gonna deed my body to science when I'm done with it, because I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of interesting things going on inside of it.
So who's your control?
I don't know. I don't have a control. I have a painting in the closet. That's my control.
All right.
It's getting older, and I'm staying younger. Anyway, okay. So what do you want people to take away from this study?
Well, what we want is people to become more aware of the role that cholesterol could be playing in the process of heart attacks and strokes. And why is this important? Because when you look at the images, it really brings home the whole if you will, the whole concept of from A to Z. In other words, we see cholesterol in the serum. We've looked at it for years. We know what it reflects, and we looked at good cholesterol and bad cholesterol and so on and so forth. This is another piece of the puzzle, and it's an important piece because it deals with the mechanics, it deals with the physical factors, it deals with the not the solution, in other words, not the the cholesterol in the blood or in the dissolved in the that's being carried around in the system, but rather in the wall itself, and the artery wall itself.
Right.
And that's important because that's not been the area of focus yet. This is the area that is causing the heart attacks and strokes.
I would love to see I would love to see research done on insulin-resistant individuals at different stages, perhaps pre-diabetic and diabetic-treated and diabetic-untreated, and the preponderance of this crystallized cholesterol, because I have a suspicion that there is a linkage between glucose and its effect on cholesterol, because we know that glucose affects fats.
As we speak. Those are the studies currently being looked at, because there's no question that that interaction, at least in the human body, seems to be a very important interaction, and it's not clear again at what level this is occurring, and certainly this deserves a lot of attention.
When they introduced the whole concept of APO. What is it? Apoprotein A, little A. That's the one that was the marker.
Oh, LP little A. You
yes,
mean?
Yes.
LP little A.
Okay. When they first introduced that, I mean, there were books written about it, seminars, diets, everything, because they said this is the holy grail of cholesterol. This
right.
is the one you have to watch. And naturally, labs developed an assay system to test for APO, apoprotein A, and so. Will there be, you think that will be the natural progression for crystallized cholesterol? Do you think that?
Well, the natural progression wasn't so great for LP little A, because it really, I mean, LP little A per se has not turned out to be as good a marker as we would have hoped it to be.
Right, but nonetheless, literally millions of people have walked into the doctors and said, I read this book, I watched Oprah, I want to be tested for this, and they have tests for it.
I know, they
do. Do you think that we'll have a test for crystallized cholesterol where they'll just be able to prick your finger and put it on a Wattman blotter and send you your results back?
We're looking into things like that. Obviously, that would be the ideal thing. Obviously, you know, when we come up with a concept like this, it's just still in the early conceptual area. It takes a long time then to bring it down to earth, so to speak. Even though the concept is probably correct, as far as we can tell. But it's going to take years of testing, and I know people are anxious and want to have immediate answers. And science doesn't give you that luxury. It's a slug your way through it. I mean, there's no shortcuts.
Well, but there's one little bit of brightness in the message that you gave today, and I can't help but hold on to the idea of keeping your body temperature high, raising your body temperature through exercise, through things like sauna. Obviously, you should be physically in good shape before you step into a sauna. It's not something to take willy-nilly. If you've never stepped into a sauna before, you need to really gradually spend 5 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, getting the body temperature. I've been a big believer of hypothermia and its benefits to the body in general for many years now. And this is just another reason that I can see that it's good for you.
Well, it's an interesting thought. It's logical from what we've seen.
Right.
But we haven't proven it.
Right, right. And so I'm not, and if anybody from the FDA is listening, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not promoting a new diet or a product here. And I have no stake in the sauna industry. I don't have any stock in an LED company or anything like that. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's all. All right. Now, before we end the show, your group has published a book, correct?
We have.
Now, this book, I want to say something before we talk about the book. This book is actually designed to be a textbook. But
it's a teaching textbook.
A teaching textbook, right. But I want to say something to all my listeners out there. The difference between you and a specialist, whoever's listening, the difference between you, the person who's listening, my audience member, and a specialist is the knowledge that they have been endowed with, and that knowledge comes through books. And so quite often, the really good information is not the books that are being written for the general public, but the books that are being written for academia, because this is really where the meat and potatoes are. So I'm saying that now because those of you who hear, well, this is a teaching book, you'll get turned off. Well, no, it's not for me. Yes, it is for you. Okay, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Peripheral Vascular Disease.
Which talks about plaque in all of its full glory in every area of the body.
Correct, including to some extent the heart, but we focused on the rest of the body in this book. And the reason we did that is to heighten the awareness for our trainees in cardiovascular medicine to pay attention closely to this part of the disease because it is quite prevalent. It's very often associated with heart disease, and it is often an underestimated aspect of this condition.
So what is, like when they talk about peripheral artery disease, and they usually focus on the legs a lot. You know, the legs tend to, for some reason, be subjected to the blockage and the stenosis. Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's more of a historical thing, really. That's kind of where the clinical piece started. But it involves the kidney arteries, it involves the abdominal arteries, the aorta. It involves the carotid arteries and the arteries of the brain. So it's not just the arteries in the leg, although the implication is that it is, and that's because of historical reasons, really.
Do people notice the changes in their vasculature in the legs? Do the legs get numb? Do they get weak? What are the
symptoms? Typically, the symptoms in the legs are often, as you said, some weakness, some fatigue, people getting tired easily, and then, of course, cramping pain with activity, not at rest, but usually with activity. And then if it's advanced to the point where then people get gangrene and lose...
Necrosis, right? You get dying, your flesh starts to die underneath because the irrigation system isn't bringing nutrients and excavating out sludge, so to speak, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's in the most severe cases, obviously.
And we see that often in association with diabetes.
Stenosis is a word that's being used a lot now in medicine, and you're right. We don't put it all together, but it's plaque.
And it is plaque. It's the same disease.
And we hear more and more about stenosis now causing damage and problems for people. And so if you get this under control and maybe your focus is your heart, you get it under your control, but the benefits are going to be throughout the body.
Exactly. That's very important. That's a very important message, actually.
Who's the publisher of the book? If someone wants to go and get the book, Peripheral Vascular Disease.
It's published by Lippincott.
Lippincott. Wow, great book company. Okay, great. Well, listen, Dr. Abella, I want to thank you for taking time. I know you're a real busy guy and making time to come on the show and talk about this study.
Oh, thank you, Carl. This is quite an interesting show, and very pleased to be with you.
Thank you. All right, and we will be on tomorrow with another live episode of Superhuman Radio, so please tune in then.